February 6, 2013, is Sawat from Pedro Show. Lot from Pedro show. Started off with John Coltrane doing two bass hit. It's part of Miles Davis's quintet. Then we had Sawako doing Lapon and BZD with I Just Want to Be Myself Again, which brings us to our guest for today, Mr. Bob Lee.
Good afternoon.
And you got something you can enlighten us about, BZB.
Yeah, BZB was the first band that I ever recorded in the studio with. This is back in spring of 1987, and at Antioch College I was in a band with a gentleman named Wes Morden, who went on to have an indie band called the Middle States, based
Which
out
college?
Of Minneapolis, Antioch, in southwest Ohio.
Right.
And along with a guy named Alan Huckabee, and I'm trying for the life of me to remember what band he went on to be in, and another guy named Chris Castles, who made some recordings of his own and still plays musically. So I've been vaguely in touch with two of those guys, although we can't find Alan.
And what year is this recording?
Spring of 87.
And it's your first recording?
It's the
first time in the studio?
First time in the studio. We had just started our band in college. Put together a set of half original, half kind of jangly pop cover tunes. Stuff like 3 o'clock and REM kind of songs.
You know, Michael lives in Pedro.
Yeah, yeah. I last saw him as the bass player for the Imperial Butt Wizards.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he did that, but he had the Salvation Army, which morphed into 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I like that Salvation Army record a lot.
With John Blazing on guitar and a guy named Troy on drums.
Yeah, I think that was the stuff that Wes, the leader of the band, was really into at that time.
What was it called? Mind Garden? And Happened?
Yeah, I think I had the first one with the kid and the little kid in the army hat on the cover.
Oh, a helmet. I'm talking about 7-inch on New Alliance.
Oh no!
Steve Boone found
them.
They were a Carson band.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do this single.
Mm-hmm.
And once I was happened or something. The other side was Mind Garden, I think. My memory's good.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. Okay, so, I think they were called 3 o'clock by that time, right?
By the time we were into him, yeah.
With the helmet. Remember, Frontier, maybe. John Silva, actually, was the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Manager or something. I remember getting a call from him later.
Oh, okay.
Paisley, right?
Indeed.
They had a thing here in SoCal called the Paisley Underground, and they were kind of part of that.
Yeah, that had its tendrils back east, too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's first time in the studio, but it's not the first time on drums. When did you start? When were you first conscious of music?
First conscious of music from as long as I can remember. I mean, I remember going one of the first things I can remember is going to see Jesus Christ Superstar with the original cast performing in Pittsburgh when I was about 4 years old.
The one on the record?
Yeah. I don't think it was Ian Gillan.
Yeah,
but
because
it was some
I thought
kind
that
of
was
tour of the as many of
the guy on the record, Ian Gillan, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But that's I don't know if he toured because he I think was in Perth.
I'm pretty sure he did not.
Right?
I think he did not tour, but it was I used to have the program when I was a kid. As many of them as they could round up at the time.
Now they didn't play Lambertville.
No. This was...
Because that's your hometown.
This was visited in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I grew up in different places in New Jersey. But we usually went to gigs in Philly, but I ended up going to some in Pittsburgh because my dad lived out there. And
the other
we
side
had friends that were out there, yeah.
Okay. I know about Lambertville because once we caught there.
That's right.
In the pad.
That's right.
So, Jesus Christ Superstar, you saw this... a musical and you wanted to play drums.
Wanting to play drums was a little bit later. I was a huge Who fan and around the time of turning 11, like 78, I got a copy of Tommy and a drum set the same Christmas.
Wow.
So those two.
Jazz for both?
Yeah, those two kind of went together.
Okay. Tommy recorded so little though.
great Keith Moon performance, though.
Oh, you no, really performances hear the, are happening, but it was like kind of recorded tiny.
Compared to the way they were live, yeah.
Or even restrained. Live at Leeds.
It's real restrained.
Or even sounding. Quadrophenia with orchestra, it's still sounding kind of tiny.
Yeah, but those parts to like have that be one of the first thing to try and learn parts to was kind of interesting.
Well, George Hurley, this is how he learns drums. Not Tommy, but my generation.
Mm-hmm.
Or what? No, it was Happy Jack. Quick one.
Yeah, the second one.
That's the one he said he got. And, you know, just put on headphones in the mm-hmm. shed and just bashed along with him until it started to come.
Yeah, that's a popular method, I guess.
That's because that much of what you did?
Apparently successful.
Headphones and the record.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Went for it before playing with guys, right?
Way before.
Yeah, okay.
And started playing with guys when I was maybe 14. When I still lived in Lawrenceville, there was a couple
Junior
of guys
high?
That jammed. I just found one of those guys in on Facebook again. Yeah, like what I was. This was 82. I would have been in 7th grade, 8th grade.
And you start jamming with people.
I started jamming with them about then, and 83, started, moved to Lambertville, found some people to play with there, had a little band with them, one of whom was Bill Fowler from, that band was called, Past Progression.
Yeah.
And that had, Bill Fowler from Sound of Urchin.
Yeah.
And Guy Heller from Moist Boys in it.
Okay.
And our friend
Later
Andrew Neckel.
To be Moist Boy
yeah.
in Sound of Urchin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was when we were just... I was still in high school. Those guys were just out of high school a year or two.
Primordial versions.
Yeah. In fact, the one show we played was at my high school. It was for Cabaret Talent Night.
You did one gig.
Yeah. And they let Guy and Bill and Andrew come back even though they had graduated already.
Oh, okay. Let's play some music. We'll come back.
Right on.
Thank you. gets down and dirty. Feeling kind of wild, gonna drink some wild turkey. We're gonna drink, drink, drink till we're sinking. We're gonna drink till we're sinking, then we'll keep drinking. Have a good time all the time. We're gonna have a good time all the time. We're gonna have a good time all the time. We're gonna have a good time all the time. We're gonna have a good time all the time. We're gonna have a good time all the time. We're gonna have a good time all the time. We're gonna have a good time all the time.
It's the kiss of death from Mr.
Via Bob Lee, Chinese song by Lazy S, then Have a Good Time All the Time, a Fearless Leader, and then something brand new from Petra Hayden. She's got an album of acapella movie theme songs, and that was Goldfinger, main title. After that was Bumble by Freesia, and Blur in My Day, Black Moth Super Rainbow after that, and finally RTX Go-Go by Black Bananas. Heard of them?
No, I haven't.
The Road Trucks Lady.
Oh, okay. Jennifer.
Yeah. I think she lives in OC.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know they're like Baltimore or DC or something, right? The Road Trucks was.
Originally, yeah. New York.
Right? Oh, really?
Pussy Galore. Neil Haggerty.
Yeah, they were New York City?
Yeah.
Wow. For some reason, I thought they were.
Maybe from somewhere else, like everybody is.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. People who are from New York City do not make bands. Right? It seems like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People go there to make bands, but the people from there busy making a living. Okay, so we should go back to that BZB and recording. What was it like to be in the studio for the first time?
Oh, yeah, going back to that. It was a trip. It was at a recording studio called, a recording school called Full Sail in Chillicothe, Ohio, that was one of those places that you could go for, not as long as college, you can get your kind of your tech degree or whatever it was to work in studios and learn how to pass tape and calibrate machines and all of that stuff. And we have the guy that was recording us, he was the former monitor man for Pure Prairie League, so I felt we were this guy's from the big time.
Yeah,
and he's gonna sprinkle his magic fairy dust
but
on
by
us.
Going recording at a school, maybe also Morricano.
Yeah. In Southwest Ohio, there's not a lot of studios.
I could imagine.
In 1987,
I was in Southeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But I drove through that area where we're not Ohio State, but the other, University of Ohio is, the real old school. And, yeah, it's pretty rural in the southern part of Ohio. Pretty rural, very nice.
There must have been some place in Cincinnati that you could record, but I never heard of such a thing.
That's closer to the river.
Yeah.
Or Dayton.
Some bands, I think, recorded in Dayton. There was a place there. It was just a matter of getting
enough
money. What's
the school
there,
University of Miami?
Miami County or whatever it is.
Something like that. It's nothing to do with Florida, but there's Miami there.
Yeah, yeah.
In Dayton.
Because it's Miami County in Dayton.
Yeah, okay. But what was it like,
To go in and start doing it, hear the drums processed through, and everything. It was a very different experience. It was,
A prac pad.
The thing I realized right away about studio time is how much, if you ever wanted to become more self-aware, that's one way to get real self-aware real fast, because the studio amplifies everything you're doing.
You hear everything. Yeah.
Everything suddenly.
Microscope rock.
Yep. Where you didn't know what was making that part go south, suddenly you can isolate everyone until you hear what it is. And,
Who's the major clam blow?
Where is it all coming from? And God, why are those hits on the toms so quiet when the thing starts, and then they get all heavy toward the end? And so, every little measure of control and self awareness that you've ever thought you had, you're suddenly ready to have a light shined on yourself.
Did you crack a lot before you went in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did our best and got through it. No, we got through, four songs in a night or something like that.
Did it end up being released?
None of it.
Okay.
Wes did it as
a
senior
project. So this is the first public...
This might, to the best of my knowledge, this might be the first public airing of the former Bokuzu Bataman with Alan Huckabee, Wes Morden, and Chris Castles.
26 years.
And myself, yeah. I first heard it about a year ago, and I got a hold of Wes and convinced him to transfer those tapes and send them over to me, and just finally got to hear him after all that time. I don't think I'd heard him since we did him. I never took home a copy of him.
Now, what's the Lazy Us?
So Lazy Us was a Moby Grape tribute project that was a one-off thing for an internet CD tribute project.
Oh, so
that
this
was
is way
circulated
down the road,
among
man.
This is this is 1999, I want to say, with Paul Sanoyan and Richard Derrick.
Oh, Paul! Wow, I saw him.
Yeah, so we took a skip.
Punk Rock Barbecue in November. I last saw him.
Yeah, I see him around periodically, but we were Moby Grape fans, and it was his idea, I think, to take the Skip Spence song, the Chinese song, and redo it as a surf instrumental.
I know he's a big love fan too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's he got? Something on Mars.
Las Vegas on Mars. Had a track on the same.
I played on the show. He's got many compilation anthologies.
Yeah, they had a track
Fresno
on the same.
Fresno or something. It was in SoCal, I think.
Yeah, they were also on the same. It was called Mo Grape, M-O apostrophe Grape, and had a cover like one of those old fruit box things from that you see, those big,
whoa,
colorful, you know, signs, painted signs from the 40s.
Okay, a little more music, and then we're going to get to your journey to SoCal.
Yeah.
I will arise and go now and go to Innisfree and a small cabin build there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee-loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the vales of the morning to where the cricket sings. There midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of the linnet's wings. I will arise and go now, for always night and day I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore, while I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's gray, I hear it in the deep harp's core.
Pfeife aus dem Mund und...
From Pedro Show, finish up the first hour. That was PSXO with Whoops Johnny. Ahead of that was Heaven is a Gated Community by Bob Pollard. There's a Dayton guy who does about 10 albums a year. He's got enough to 2 or 3 coming out imminently. Incredible man. Upsetters with the Automatic Lotion. Ahead of that, that's got John Blazin from the Salvation Army.
Oh.
Dave Royce on drums. And Hard on Love by Television with Richard Hell. Something live, 1975. It's the Faz version. GFR ahead of that with Worship. In front of that was Gasping for Air by Ian McComb. And we started all off with The Lake Isle of Innisfree by William Butler Yeats. We're at the end of the first hour of the February 6, 2013 edition of the Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Bob Lee. Hold tight for hour 2. February 6, 2013. It's second hour. Watt from Pedro Show.
Deep in your soul, the road. I go there all alone, and you're very, very late. It makes me furious. I get so when the inspiration hits and gets dark inside my mind, till I'm in convulsive fits, as it can't seem to get on the outside, I get makes me furious. When some twerpy little dude takes a walk through City Hall with his shiny little gun, leaving bloody on the wall, he leaves two people dead. But because he was a cop, he gets away with murder. And the jury wept. I get furious. It makes me furious. I get so furious.
That is my conjecture of the origin of the heat ray.
grabbed this guy. He hit me in the nuts 6 times in 3 rounds in 9 minutes.
For Pedro Show, started the second hour with Joe Bouchard and a tune called Road Trip, which is kind of fitting because Saturday I leave for tour Europe with El Sonio de Maranayo to support our debut album, La Busta Giallo.
And wake up Joe Bouchard again.
And Andrea Belfi on the drums, Stefano Pulli on the guitar. Yes, a February-March tour in Europe. It should be nice and freezy. But we're looking forward to it. Joe Bouchard, yeah, he's a big hero. Influence on me, as was John Elbison, Jack Bruce, E.J. Butler, James Jamerson, Larry Graham. Yeah, maybe Dennis Dunaway, too. Maybe some Gene Simmons. I think those Glisses, even more than Elbison.
Simmons doesn't get taken that seriously.
Well, he wouldn't take it serious when I met him and told him that. He says, no, I don't know how to play. He said, Entwistle is a real baseman. Yeah, he was really humble, which is like not what people tell me he's supposedly like.
I guess if the music's not that important, maybe he doesn't think it's all that great that he can play. I don't know.
Well, I learned those glisses he did. He did littler ones.
Yeah.
Entwistle did them. Entwistle did everything, of course. But he would do them, you know, like at the beginning of Deuce, I think there's one that doesn't even go to anything. It's just vroom.
Oh, yeah. Just the opening of Rock Bottom.
There's one in that one, too, where it just vroom. Oh, the bat, that leads to something. I think the one in Deuce doesn't even lead to anything. It's just vroom.
Yeah.
I think it was called Intellectuals Are the Shoeshine Boys of the Ruling Elite, yeah. Or something like that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, the... I think Chairman Mao quote.
Was that the, yeah. He said that? All right. Then we heard an intense song from Madonna to sing. That's Mike Watt and the Black Gang live.
That's from Nashville at the Exit Inn in Exit October 98.
Bruce Fitzpatrick, October 98. The last tour the Black Gang did, which was... In fact, the last tour of the first opera.
Mm-hmm.
And people might not know this, but that's where me and Bob Lee play together with this, starting with the Black Gang. And actually, it wasn't Nels Klein on guitar like this version you just heard, but it was Joe Baiza.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nels couldn't do the tour because of Geraldine Fibber commitments. And Steve Hodges could only do the first one. And... You filled in for 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them with Joe Baiza, two of them with, one of them with Nels Klein.
Mm-hmm.
But then we did some gigs, non-opera gigs, and we ended up doing an album that I was supposed to mix this winter if I wasn't recording the Stooges album that came up on me out of nowhere. Well, I knew it was kind of coming, but I thought my parts were done, but I figured out there was more songs and more stuff, and I didn't get a chance, so when this touring stuff ends, I get to mix this thing and it gets to come out. It's 4 years old.
I'm anxious to hear it.
It's a wild thing. I think Nels Klein used 36 pedals. I asked him to play his most psychedelic ever. He overdubbed 12-string guitar, electric, and electric sitar on every tune.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It was kind of pants shooter for you, though, I remember, because I brought in the songs without ever practicing them with these guys so we could do... Well, I had already done this a few times with Nels, but first time with Bob Lee.
It was the ones that were tough were just the ones that were elaborately arranged, because I'm not that adept at reading charts and kind of.
Well,
doing
I think
that.
You handled it well. It was you had prior fear. Once we started doing it, I don't think you were scared. It was ahead of time. Once you got into it, you seemed to handle it very well.
I felt like we could do it. I don't know if it was fear or. I don't think I was afraid of doing it. I think
well,
I was looking forward to
was,
it.
Not fear, I should say apprehension
concern.
Or something. Yeah, concern.
You never know.
But
it's
you did
be
great,
ID.
Man, and people will be able to hear it later. Then we got a buddy analysis, Abba Mendoza, and her with Nick Tamburo did Fake Funeral Song. She's up in the Bay Area. She can play guitar. Friend of Devin Hoff, too. No Mercy with something live called Furious. They found the No Mercy tapes that are 32 years old. And there's an album that I got it mail order. It's supposed to come in the mail. They made a whole album because in the old days there was only that stuff on the earcom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think Revolutionary Spy and Caucasian Guilt. And I never got to see them. I don't know if they ever even played in SoCal. They were a San Francisco band. But I heard last April they did a gig at the Café du Nord up in the city there.
Mm.
And it was an album release party for these 32-year-old tapes.
Wow.
They were just a drummer and a singer.
Yeah, I'd only ever heard and read about them, but they seemed
that
like
orange
they made quite
ear
an
com,
impression.
The third ear com. The third ear com was a double 7-inch.
Mm.
I think Middle Class was on one of them. Because it had U.S. bands. The first two ear coms, I think, were just England. And then we heard the origin of Heat Tray by the Eternals. And Below the Belt by Alex Lambert and Travis Dickerson after that. And finally, Piss Jeans with Bathroom Laughter. I think they're from the East. Maybe Philly. I don't know. Anyway, let's get back to the story. You go to college in Antioch in southern Ohio, southwest Ohio.
Yeah, the first band I found when I got out there was the band that turned out to be the Gits.
Right.
The day I showed up with my drum set and was loading into the dorm that was going to be used as the rehearsal area, I met one of the guys from one of the campus bands who told me he knew some other guys that were going to try and start a punk band. And the following day, there was these guys running around the dorms hollering, "Where's the guy in the DRI shirt? Where's the guy in the DRI shirt?"
You had a DRI shirt?
Yeah, yeah, because I was wearing one when I met this guy, and it was apparently like the greatest news that there's a drummer with where that's into punk rock at school this year.
Okay.
And they just ran around the dorms not knowing my name or anything and found me. It wasn't a very big school.
Yeah.
And
you started playing with them.
And we started playing, and we came up with a set of mostly originals. We did a cover of Loose by the Stooges, and I think they indulged me for the first few rehearsals and tried to play Suicidal Tendency songs. Never performed
no
one in front
songs?
Of anyone ever, no.
Just prac.
We just, and then we started writing stuff, and
yeah.
Andy would come up with songs, and we'd make tapes and give them to Mia, and she'd come back with lyrics, but I think the first show we did was the first time I heard
Mia
most of her lyrics.
Mia was the singer people, who tragically was murdered.
Yeah, that was so awful. It was, this was 86 when I was in the band for about 2 months. No recordings, did 2 shows, one opening for False Prophets.
Oh, you did play some, okay.
One with, I thought about sending down a tape of that, but I haven't talked to those guys about making that stuff public. it's our first moments, and it's not the most together thing you ever heard, but it's interesting to me listening to it how together Mia was from the very first time we did it. She's, the band is kind of struggling and figuring out how to play together, but she's right there. We're doing our best to keep up, but
okay, let's hear some music. They got Iggy doing a pirate song.
Oh, perfect.
Let us sing a bit of good old Captain Kit, who sat one morning early in the head. A bee came flying past, and it stung him on the ass, and this is what the gallant captain said. Asshole rules the Navy, asshole rules the sea. If you want a bit of bum, better get it from your chum. You'll get no ass from me. Now we'll hear some rhymes of Yeoman Second Grimes, who ran the hook that hoisted up the mail. One day as he stood watch, it caught him in the crotch, and he cried as he went flying o'er the rail. It doesn't matter, for asshole rules the Navy, asshole rules the sea. If you want a bit of bum, better get it from your chum. You'll get no ass from me. And now to end my song, I'll sing of A.B. Long, whose member was not like his name at all. When asked if he would tell how he got along so well, his answer simply was, as I recall, it's very simple, for asshole rules the Navy, asshole rules the sea. If you want a bit of bum, better get it from your chum. You'll get no ass from me. If you want a bit of bum, better get it from your chum. You'll get no ass from me.
Thank you. the world up, slam it through the four blocks, you heard of me. Rip fucker, I blow the world up, rip up the planet. Take it for granted when I manage with that on team advantage. Automatic rhyme band about to hand it, cause you're crammed to understand it when I land it open handed. I'm a transatlantic slave with that old Celtic magic. Got the heaven from the demo to the master. Some brothers try to strike, but light the fire of disaster. I'm the chainsaw massacre, rain raw acid dust. Downshift pump, your brakes ease off the clutch. I fuck it up when I conduct motor pistol love. Put this verbal dick in your mouth until I bust a nut. And let this jam tell you who the fuck I am. Original Max Stone, you like Amsterdam, it's like that, y'all. South Dublin MC, now what the fuck you thought? I set my first verse up similar to a stakeout. The minute that they break out, they send Jay out. But I'm super laxative and I don't need no practice, bitch. You probably wonder what track this is, yeah. So carry on with that twisted ass street rap. I come from Dublin, I will contradict that. And bitch slap any rapper that acts on like you really want it, I'ma hand him his cap. So act like you want it, but don't get live, cause you haven't seen a style this vivid in a while. I rebel cause I'm a rebel. My education and rhythm is on a higher level. Smash through the dust bell.
little starry eyes. What can I say to you, my true little? For you starry eyes forever shall be mine. Starry eyes, what can I say to make you listen? Starry eyes, what can I say or do for your attention? For you starry eyes forever shall be mine. When I am alone, I hear and feel you. I wish that I could reach right out and touch you. But knowing you're the one to greet me and meet me too alone in the dark, may it be. The stars will fall on me and you. Starry eyes, won't you listen that I'm here for you? For you starry eyes forever shall be mine. When I am alone, I hear and feel you. I wish that I could reach right out and touch you. But knowing you're the one to greet me and meet me too alone in the dark, may it be. Starry eyes, the stars will fall on me and you. Starry eyes, won't you listen that I'm here for you? For you starry eyes forever shall be mine. For you starry eyes forever shall be mine. For you starry eyes forever shall be mine.
Thank you, dudes. That's really rad of you. You little motherfuckers!
Bye.
Pop from Pedro Show. Star with Iggy Pop with A Hawk and a Hacksaw. That's the name of the band. And Asshole Rules the Navy. Then we heard Deep in the Woods 66 featuring Jay Doolin doing Motherfucking Nightmare. Then Sty Eye by Dirty Beaches. Starry Eyes by Greg Turner, which is a cover of Rocky Erickson, too. Looking in the Mirror, live, Backbiter, which is a band Bob Lee plays in. After that, Sinister Exaggerator by the Amadons, another band Bob Lee plays in. And finally, Olfactory Blues, something live from Clawhammer, another band Bob Lee used to play in.
Because
they turned into the Amadons. You only did two gigs because they threw you out of the gigs.
Yeah. I'm going back to 87. We did two gigs. They kicked me out, got Steve in the band, who was the better drummer by far at the time, and was already playing in the big band on campus, so I think they probably hadn't occurred to them to ask him when they were first trying to do their thing. But I don't know. It was kind of an important lesson that you could possibly have your thing taken away from you.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay. Here's their dinner.
Thanks for coming over, Ma. We're at the end of the second hour, February 6, 2013 edition of Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three.
Make your splash videos to upload. You have to lock the top lock.
Yeah, Bob Lee's commenting on my Ma just coming. When your Ma lives next door, sometimes she's, even if you're 55 years old, she just comes right in. Oh, yeah. February 6, 2013 is the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
And the Lord said unto Cain, cursed ye be, for ye hath made the ground drink of the blood of thy brother, spilt by thine own hand. A fugitive and a vagabond ye shall be, lo, all thy days. And Cain didst reply, Lord, this burden is too much for me to bear. Whenceforth did the Lord unzip his holy pants, and did pee into a bottle. And when this bottle was filled with a holy golden liquid, he gave it back unto Cain, and said, Cain, this is bourbon whiskey. Drink of it when you can no longer bear your burden. I am an organic robot, driven by a tiny driver inside me. The tiny driver keeps me awake at night on long crying jags and complains about the undeserved amount of disrespect he receives. I pour booze on him in a feeble attempt to shut him up. If you are a bad child in Japan, on Christmas Day, all you get is a 24-inch replica of me during an alcoholic blackout. The toy of me does not run on batteries or solar power, but on lunar power. At night, it turns itself on and won't stop talking. The toy of me knows a lot, but remembers nothing. The toy of me is the second least popular robot toy in Japan. The least popular robot toy in Japan has a name that translates to the low self-esteemed robot turkey, who needs lots of hugs, and whose feathers are made from jagged metal bits. In the anime cartoon that was made to promote slumping sales of both toys, both the turkey and I die at the end, when we catch God pissing whiskey from the sky, and we can't stop from looking up, and we both drown.
Hold me! Hold me.
Watt from Pedro Show. Started off third hour with Drowning on God's Urine by Bucky Sinister. And Yoko Ono with Hold Me right after that. That was by your request, right?
Yeah. Just saw that came out.
Yeah. And then Mystical Weapons with Dirty Neon. You know who that is?
No.
It's a band with Sean Lennon, Yoko Ono's son, and Greg Sarne from...
The Deerhoof drummer.
Right.
Wow. Love that.
And then I'm Being Good after that with Horse Goes Ape. And finally Now with Dreamo. Okay, so what do you do after you get scissored?
So, I don't know, just hunker down, try and do the right thing a little more often, and be a serious contributor. And so immediately after that was when I started playing with BZB, as every quarter at Antioch was slightly different bunch of people, because you're expected to have your... half of your year be spent doing co-op work off campus.
Okay.
So every quarter when you came back, like half the people you know you knew from your first quarter there would be gone doing stuff off campus, and then there would be a bunch of other people that you hadn't met. So it was almost like having a whole bunch of new kids, no matter what quarter it was, no matter what part of the year. So I did three straight quarters on campus, and then and played in BZB during the second of those. During the third quarter, played in a hippie Grateful Dead jam band called Railroad Earth, which I have actually looked into to see if there was any corroboration with the famous jam band Railroad Earth, and I don't think there is.
Okay.
But if anyone can point out an Antioch connection for the famous Railroad Earth, then
I would be a
please.
Horrible resource, because I know shit about that scene.
So after that I went to Boston for a couple months, didn't play. I moved back to New Jersey. I started saving up money to move to LA, played briefly in a why Jersey?
No.
What was the question?
Saving up
money to move to Los Angeles. And
why there?
Friend of mine named Ben Chatre. Actually, I should have brought some of his stuff over to play today. Ben had been a friend of mine in New Jersey. I'd run into him when I was in Boston. He was just getting ready to go to L.A. and said, you should come with me. It took me about 8 or 10 months to save up the money. And by the time I did, Ben was getting ready to leave L.A. to move to London. But I decided to
you
come anyway.
Save up more money.
I didn't want to. I decided I'd just go there anyway, and I'd at least have someone I knew in town for a couple of months and see if it was going to work or not. Bought a round trip ticket, moved out here, started playing in Crawl Space a week after I got here.
Recycler, right?
Yeah, I was a recycler. And
Fearless Leader, Ben, you would later go, and he would switch to guitar.
Yeah, Fearless Leader was Sarge's band from the beginning. It was Sarge and Alan Clark, who was the drummer in the Lazy Cowgirls, was the other guitarist in Fearless Leader.
And that's, they're not Ohio, they're Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're playing with Crawl Space with this put-together kit.
I played with another band called Rommel's Goggles for about 5 or 6 months.
Another recycler connection?
No, I met those guys. They were down the hall from the person I was staying with when I got here. They were Otis Parsons art students, and I was staying with this girl's floor in the Park Plaza Hotel, where they used to do Scream Club right across the street from MacArthur Park.
Okay, yeah.
The art school was right there, and sure. It was a friend of Ben's who was letting me crash on her floor for the first couple weeks when I got out here. And they were down the hall, and they needed a drummer. So I was in two bands within, 4 days of getting out here. And it was not that hard to find.
1988?
Fall of 88, yeah. So just from there, just tried to improve my station. Got my drums shipped out from New Jersey by UPS. And continued being the bus riding drummer for about a year. It's amazing. It's Crawl Space and the Goggles guys drove me around.
And for gigs, drive the drums around. Yeah,
and it was right after I had gotten my car from my mom bought a new car, and I flew out to New Jersey and drove her old one across the country so I would have one to use. And it was the day I got back that I had got the message from Clawhammer that they were looking for a drummer, that they were kicking their guy out.
Wow. How'd you meet them?
I had known them for about a year. The Crawl Space,
they were
buddies. We played shows together. We're on a lot of the bands that were on the Gimme the Keys compilation in '88. Gathered around each other and played shows together, and I would just see them around. The Creamers, Fearless Leader, the Lazy Cowgirls, the Thirsty Brats, Mark Mylar's bands. It was just this kind of community of people, most of whom had moved to L.A. from somewhere else, from the Midwest or something. Or Sarge was from Detroit. And,
yeah.
The Creamers were all from other places. So it was kind of this interesting immigrant underground of expats that gathered around each other. Clawhammer were a couple of
East Coast expats.
Was two local guys at least, two Orange County, Long Beach area guys.
Okay. Let's hear some music and we'll get to it later.
Okay. I think it's time for my cup of tea.
Stop.
Last bunch of music for this edition. Gallucci with Tim Waits for Norman. It's all written as one word, so it's hard to read. Tim Waits for Norman, sorry. And then Do It Science, they're from Sydney, Australia, which I'm going at the end of March for Stooges gigs. City Planning by Do It Science after that. They're from Kumamoto in Japan. Kumamoto City. Then A Sick Man's Dream with Teenage Jesus. Not Teenage Jesus the Jerks, but a song called that. Vampire Robot Squid from Outer Space after that from Basho. All About Everything by The Father Figures. After that was Hooked to the Gills by Some Days. I think Some Days is a Pedro band. Clawhammer.
Yeah.
They need a drummer.
So I started playing with them in the spring of 1990. And continued
Well, they recorded and stuff. Did you record with Crawl Space?
Crawl Space had done a couple of 7-inches. And
a comp.
It had been on a compilation, but you know, the recordings with me, we did a couple of sessions at a house at Penguin Studios in Eagle Rock that came out as 2 sympathy singles, and then it was, I think, as we were getting ready to record our album for Sympathy that I joined Clawhammer. So for a
and
while,
they did
I was
some
doing,
albums recorded. Yeah.
They had their first album was about to come out at the point where I joined the band.
Okay.
So when I got in, we did a couple of singles right away. We toured. We did the Devo covers album, and then we did the second Clawhammer album, I think all within about the first year after I came in, between like May of 90 and spring of 91.
Crawl Space was improvised, right?
Not when I first started. It was Sonic Youth, MC5-ish, high-energy, kind of noisy, ugly, but songs,
yeah,
with verses and choruses and guitar solos, and it got more and more improv-y as after I got in it, and by about a year or so after I was in it, it was mostly improv by late 89, and that was when Sarge left and Joe Dean came in, I think the beginning of 1990. And I stayed with them for about another year and a half after that, left in early 91, and started playing with Backbiter in the fall of 91 after I met Jonathan Hall at the Splattering of the Tribes out in the desert, playing with Texorcist, and my friend pointed out, like, ah, that guy's like a young Rocky Erickson. And I was like, and I really liked his songs and liked his stuff and had known him before and thought he was a cool guy, and he asked me to start, you know, just not even will you join a band with me, but will you play a couple of shows? I just want to get these songs out there and do a couple of shows, and then it became easy to keep going. We did
and this is concurrent, Clawhammer in.
Yeah. This was starting in fall 91.
Fearless Leader.
So, well, Fearless Leader had been going since before I got out here with different people.
No,
and
but with
I was
you.
I was living with them, and sort of part of what they were doing, I was in their movie that they made with the porn auteur in the fall of 89, and I started actually playing in the band in, must have been 94, 95, something like that. They went through a succession of drummers, and eventually were just left with me because I was still living with Alan.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it was 94 maybe I did my first show.
How long was Clawhammer?
From they started in late 86,
no,
and
but
with I started doing it in spring of 1990 and finished 10 years later in spring of 2000.
Wow. And then Amadon soon after that.
And Amadon's was going concurrently with Clawhammer for about 6 months.
Yeah, the end phase.
From January 2000 to, I guess, April of 2000, you could have conceivably called us up and booked either band.
But Steve Reed on bass,
yeah,
and Amadeus.
It was two real different things. I thought it was kind of time for Clawhammer to come to an end, to wrap up. That particular group of people had worked really well for a long time. It wasn't working so much anymore, and the new ideas and the new songs that John had, it seemed like it was appropriate to put it into another bucket, to call it something else and have it be something else, that with its own repertoire and history, and not make it a continuation of this other thing just because there was some minor amount of name recognition.
And two of the same members.
Yeah. But it was a big thing that John and Chris collaborating in Clawhammer. That was the thing that gave it its...
Right.
Probably that gave it its unique flavor, even on those records that Rob and I aren't on in the early days. And that, you know, that was what made it Clawhammer. And once that wasn't fruitful anymore, it was appropriate, to, I think, to move on to something different.
What have you done since then?
A lot of things. I played in...
You still do Backbiter. You still do
Amidons. I still do Backbiter. I still do Amidons. I still do Crawl Space. We just did some recording this last weekend.
Wow.
Playing third grade teacher every once in a while.
Oh, really?
When their regular drummer is Sabrina's husband, Steve.
Yeah.
And every once in a while when he's not able to do it or had some knee problems earlier this year, I played a few shows with them.
And, of course, Fearless Leader, you're on the new album.
Fearless Leader's just made a new album. That's where Mike has been kind enough to play some things in the last couple of weeks. But we're hoping to get that out before too long. And that's our first recordings in 15 years. And we actually did that album kind of the way we did the one with you, because we didn't have any band practice prior to the thing,
just
or even demos.
Songs.
They came in, Alan would sit there and play me his song, I would sit there and record the drums to it until we had it basically right. Then Sarge would came in and taught me all his songs the same way. And then after I was done, then they brought the bass player in and taught him all the songs and had him play along to my beats. And then those two guys took it to Sarge's house and just finished it, played on each other's songs. By then they'd heard it enough with us two learning it and playing on it.
Right, but they knew it.
That there's not one note where the entire band is playing together. There's not one song that I had much of an idea what we were going to do before
I
walked in.
That's a little different in our album, because we played together on everything.
We at least played everything except for overdubs, although I still haven't heard lyrics to any of it.
Yeah, or the overdubs,
yeah.
I don't think. You only heard the guitar he was playing when we were playing.
I didn't even hear the finished takes of a lot of that stuff. I haven't heard it since we played it, since I heard it coming over the headphones while I was doing
right,
it.
Yeah, right. Well, after that, Nell spent a few days just doing the overdubs.
Mm-hmm.
There are massive amounts of overdubs on that record from him.
Yeah.
But I wanted it, like I said, I asked him to make a psychedelic thing.
Mm-hmm.
What about other stuff?
Okay, I'm afraid I'm going to forget somebody now. I played in Hot Damn with Alan and his
wife,
right. Zebra. Made two records with them. I recently played in a band called Slander and New Slang with Matt Persh from Kryptonite Nixon and Jonathan. I've been starting to try to play with Devin Hoff in a thing that we haven't come up with a name or a third member or anything, but hopefully
that'll be
fruitful.
A couple weeks ago called Bastet, maybe last week.
Yeah,
I think that was just him on the bass.
It's only been a few weeks in the last like year since we started talking about doing it that we've both been free at the same time and able to get in and try and work on stuff.
Drum and bass.
At this point, it's drum and bass.
Is
I mean,
he
it's intended.
Stand up?
No, it's electric.
Wow.
He's real into No Means No, Victim's Family type
stuff. Yeah.
So a lot of trippy time signatures and. You know, riffs that turn around backwards, and as a King Crimson guy, this is kind of a chance for me to flex that part of my math brain.
Emergeth.
Try and
what
groove
was that first
around
band
these
called?
Awkward things. Oh, the past progression.
Past prog.
Yeah. He actually writes songs in 17/8 and shit. We only like try
guys,
to make it sound like we did.
Musician, Devin Hoff.
Yeah.
Oh, I know he's got a thing for metal and stuff, too. I know it. But the guy, you know, is from jazz and blues world, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think his father was a blues guitarist.
Yeah, this thing's going to be heavy if we get it off the ground. It's I'm hoping we do.
Yeah, he's an incredible guy. He's been doing recording with Kay, too. Yeah. He's really, you know, I thought it was trippy he would leave the Nels Klein Singers. And then
yeah.
He didn't like it. He told me he thought it was going too fuge. I guess there's a diff between prog and fuge.
I guess so.
Definitely with No Means No and stuff. I would say that was closer to a prog thing than a fuge thing.
Yeah, because it's real controlled.
Yeah.
It's real tight and controlled and
great band and
tricky and very carefully composed and deliberate. And
yeah,
it's not.
And the brothers,
it's not blow.
The drum and bass of both brothers. I mean, they play so well together.
Yeah, it's intense. The Rotters was another band I was in for a while, and we're thinking about maybe
getting something together. Well, version of the Rotters, because when I saw the Rotters, you were very young. Because it might have been 1980.
I think after about 1980, it was always a version of the Rotters. After Mike moved to.
And where were they from?
It was always Fester Swollen and no original members. I don't think there was any original members.
They weren't from here, right? Were they Santa Barbara?
Ventura.
Ventura, okay.
Santa Barbara. Part of Nodcore.
Yeah, when I saw them. But they're even before Nodcore in a way, because they played the Second Mask.
Yeah, 77, 78.
Yeah, I saw them play the Second Mask. And the singer came out with his leg bent up behind him, you know, with crutches. Mm-hmm. And the song was called Amputee.
Yeah.
Did you guys do that song?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm an amputee. And then there was the infamous song they were known for was Sit on My Face, Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, with Mick Fleetwood apparently personally called Mike Rogers on the phone to threaten to kick his ass.
He's a tall man, right? Or is that the tall one? The drummer's the tall man.
Yeah, and that's Mick Fleetwood.
Okay, because the bass one's a little, maybe not the biggest threat.
Yeah. But anyway, he's become one of my most hated rock and roll figures for not anything I had anything to do with. I was 11 years old in 1979. We did shows with the Hanson brothers to come back to the No Means No thing that we were talking about. And yeah, watching those guys... And we did shows with No Means No, and yeah, watching those guys work together was quite an experience. They have their thing together as well as anybody in rock.
I love them.
Too bad they're not coming. Their tour got called off. They were supposed to be here in 2 weeks.
Oh fuck!
Apparently they couldn't get enough of the paperwork completed by the clubs, by the promoters that were in order to present to the border, here's our complete package with all our contracts and all our signed agreements, because they have to figure out what the withholding is going to be on everything. So you have to have signed contracts for everything down to the meal vouchers. And they didn't have it together for, I think they said, 2/3 of the shows. They didn't have their stuff a month and a half before they were supposed to leave, and there was no time to get a visa. It wasn't because of administration changes. I was afraid it was like Reagan era. They're going to make it impossible to get a visa. DOA's tour would be called off too. Although they were apparently played the other night, and I didn't make it to see them. But it's their last tour.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, well.
So look. What advice would you have for somebody in music, since this is an incredible story that you've done so far?
Hopefully you're into music enough that that you're willing to make it a lifestyle and not a career path. It hasn't been very, very good career path, but it's been an excellent lifestyle. You know, when I first was doing this stuff and in New Jersey and dreaming about moving to L.A., I dreamed about becoming rich and famous. I dreamed about making records and going on tour and being able to
doing music.
Have a happy life and put something back into the reservoir and could contribute to the community in some way. And I've been really successful at doing that. I've been able to do it, as they say, you know, as Johannan had the compilation called, they don't get paid, they don't get laid, but boy, do they work hard.
Tim Mohan.
Hopefully, hard work is its own reward.
Well, we're at the end of the show, but you're going to come back with John Wall.
Yeah, we'll have the Amadons in studio.
We'll have Amadons, and we're not at the Love Grotto. Brother Matt has a chow with his pop for his B-Day. His pop's B-Day, so we're here at my pad. But very, very honored to have you aboard, Bob Lieb. We're going to see you in a couple months with John Wall and have you back on the show. So think of music before then that you can bring that we didn't get to hear this time.
All right. Yeah, there's a lot.
But thanks for coming aboard.
Thank you.
It's been the February 6, 2013 edition of Watt from Pedro Show. I'm going to try to do some shows while I'm over in Europe. I'm on tour with El Sonia de Mayo Nayo. But till then, keep your powder dry.